This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 3, G-Bag Nation, 105 through the Fan. Rangers pregame is coming up at 6 o'clock. They'll try to get some runs in Tampa as Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us now to talk Cowboys. Nick, good afternoon. How you doing?
Doing great, fellas. How are you?
Doing wonderful. You're doing a heck of a job covering this team for us. We want to salute you for that and thank you for all the insights and reports. Now, Micah on Twitter last night, quote, "I'm preparing as if I'll be on the field the first week of camp, but it's in the owner's hands." Should we prepare for him not to be at the start in Oxnard?
You know, that's funny you mentioned that because I was talking to somebody earlier today and I was saying, you know, when it came to training camp, when it came to, the expectation of Micah Parsons being there, it was always with the impression that he would, you know, starting back in December when we first started having these contract and offseason talks with Micah Parsons in the locker room, and then in January, and then a couple of times during the offseason, he wants to be at camp, and he mentioned in that tweet. But that two-sentence phrase there, that's the one that got me, too. It said, I'm fully preparing to be there first week of camp, but it's in the owner's hands. And so I think now he's kind of putting that responsibility into Jerry's court, and we'll see what Jerry does with that piece of leverage.
What was your read on Stephen Jones' level of frustration yesterday when he was probed about it?
Yeah, that was certainly interesting, too, because he had to see that question coming, or at least those line of questions coming, and it could just be the nature of the negotiation as well. I mean, it's kind of become mind-numbing even for us as reporters, right? It's just that, you know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, and you want progress and you want that to progress as reporters, as fans, as both sides in the agreement. It's just very interesting and weird that it hasn't progressed any further than from when we were first talking about this back in January.
Nick, do you think he's tired of having his ass kicked in these negotiations?
Yeah, at least from public perception for sure. Right.
Yeah. And, is he frustrated? Is he frustrated with the fact that he, honestly, I believe he doesn't get to negotiate. I really don't, because agents have figured out that the Dallas Cowboys, you just wait them out. You just wait them out. And unfortunately for the Cowboys, they haven't been able, the deals that they've been able to get done, like the Oso Digizua deal, was an agent. They had a good relationship. They went under market value a little bit. You know, he's really good. The Diggs deal was done under market value. But, you know, there's a lot of these agents out there that know they can kick his ass. And I mean that in respect, but I mean, really not. Stevens, he's frustrated.
It's respectful ass kicking. We can all appreciate
it. I think he's
one of
frustrated,
those.
Nick, because he doesn't really get to negotiate. It comes down to, okay, we've got to do this. You know, here's the parameters of the deal. I don't get to try and sign you for $36.5 million or $38.5 million. I got to sign you for 40, 41. Here we go, you know.
Yeah, and the standard has been set with how the Cowboys have negotiated over the last few years with their deals, whether it be Dak both times, CeeDee Lamb, even with Zach Martin a couple of years back when he initiated the holdout and they waited as long as they did to finally get something done, even though it was a more mini time frame. There was still kind of that expectation that the deadline was going to get the deal done. And you know, full on me, shame on me going into this negotiation. I didn't expect a deadline to be the reason that this got done. You know, I thought the two sides were at a good enough starting point to where that they would probably have something done by now was my expectation. And up until the owners' meetings in Florida a couple of months back, I at least had the expectation that it gets done before camp. But now with the rhetoric and dialogue on both sides, I'm not so confident in that anymore. And, you know, what does that look like for the Cowboys? What does that look like for Micah's readiness under a new defensive coordinator going into the season? You know, I think there are some fans that would tell you, you know, I'm tired of hearing about contracts. It's a new contract every year, and then they show up and they play anyway. Well, yeah, look how CD Lamb started the season last year. Do you want Micah Parsons to have those same type of learning curves under a new system going into 2025? And that's something that Micah has talked about. That's something that Jerry Jones has talked about. They're cognizant of it. And I wonder, you know, you mentioned the agents talk, and the agents also, sure, you know, they have an expectation of how these things will go. And when an agent is going into a negotiation with the Cowboys, they have agent friends that have done the same exact thing in recent years. And I think if you're looking at it from David Mulligetta's perspective, Micah Parsons' agent, you see that TJ Watt is coming down the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And you wonder what that price point will be. And then maybe you sit at the negotiation table once that price point is made. And it probably gives Micah Parsons that extra little bit of comfort.
What have you seen in your thoughts on the secondary right now, all the moving parts that they're dealing with, the interchanging of the safeties? You got Wanya Thomas playing slot. Bland's another guy that would like a new deal. He might be your best slot corner, but he might not want to play in the slot. Diggs isn't there. He's rehabbing on his own. How's the secondary right now?
Yes, the defense as a whole, I kind of have some concerns about their depth overall. It's that depth is being highlighted here in OTAs, and sure, again, it's OTAs, it's Underwear Olympics. There's not really a whole lot of stock you can put into, you know, things that happen on the field. But, you know, seeing a couple of these safeties that have had to step off to the side with the rehab group, Donovan Wilson, he's been working back from a minor knee procedure that he had. And then Malik Hooker walked off the practice field yesterday. So those both your starting safeties. And you go into the team period, 11-on-11, 7-on-7, and your starting safety is a Wanya Thomas and undrafted free agent signing Elijah Clark. Depending on your confidence in Wanya Thomas, I don't know how strongly you would feel about that safety group up against the other 31 teams in the league. And that's before we even start talking about the injury concerns that we have at corner to talk about with Trayvon Diggs, with Savone Revel. When will those guys be ready, if ready, when the season starts? Do they start on PUP? There's a lot of things to factor in when it comes to the defensive depth issues, but certainly it does start in the secondary, Zach.
Have you noticed anything from Jaden Blue?
Yeah, Jaden Blue, I think with the day three rookies as a whole, they've been worked in sparing times. It's been a little bit different from what we've seen from Tyler Booker and Donovan Ezeraku. You know, we've seen a lot with those guys getting work with the ones, getting work with the twos. But with Jaden Blue, he's gotten a lot of reps with the threes. And then yesterday was the first time we really got to see him get some burn with the twos. And we've seen some kickoff return, punt return stuff off of Brian Anger's foot a couple of times with Jaden Blue too. So maybe that's a potential role for him in the preseason.
It's Nick Harris Star Telegram here at Nick Harris FWST on Twitter if you're looking for him. You know, the culture's been talked about a lot, Nick. A gentleman pointed out that there was a lot of great talk about culture and Mike McCarthy and nobody's given up in December. How do you reconcile all that? Like, how much better is the culture? Is it players saying what the media wants to hear, or is it tangible in some way for you?
Yeah, when we talk about the culture under Brian Schottenheimer, looking at my opinion that I believe is fact is that it is a good culture that he's built early on. You know, he's building it around communication. He's building it around having fun, competing every day. And I think those three things as cornerstones to that culture. You know, if you look at, you know, proven cultures in the past, you see those traits being associated with it. The thing that's interesting for me, and I think you were already alluding to it, is how it compares to Mike McCarthy's culture. You know, if they are putting in so much energy and effort into creating a good culture, does that mean that they did not have a great one last year? And I don't think that, you know, I don't think that's an over-encompassing statement. I think there's some nitty-gritty you can get involved with there when it comes to individuals. I think if you ask some people in that locker room last year, they would tell you, yeah, Mike McCarthy built a great culture here. It was player first. It was, there was communication. But I think if you ask some other players, it'd be like, yeah, you know, communication wasn't the best around here. It's why the defense didn't start off strong. It was why when new pieces were integrated throughout the season that they weren't quite ready to hit the field. It was why CeeDee Lamb, when he arrived just a couple of weeks before the season, there was some issues whenever they did get on the field because communication wasn't strong. So I think it's circumstantial basis, but if you're looking at it from Brian Schottenheimer moving forward from 2025 and beyond, he has certainly done everything possible to make sure that those concerns don't exist. And when it comes to that individual basis, he does a much better job, in my opinion, of reaching out individually to each of his players and figuring out what the issues are before they come to a head.
Hey, Nick, who in the locker room got a hold of Tyler Guyton?
I think that would be Tyler Smith, his right-hand man, literally right shoulder man on the offensive line. Those two have spent a lot of time together this offseason, whether it be, you know, hanging out in person and cooking and eating and changing their diets, or even playing Call of Duty whenever they're at their respective homes, and you know, still spending time outside of the facility, and then in the facility, you know, learning this new system and bonding with offensive line coach Connor Riley. You know, those two guys have really taken to each other, and both of them went to college in the state of Oklahoma. Both of them are state of Texas kids. And they're going to be in the same age range for a while, as long as both of them are still on the team. But yeah, that would be the guy that I would point to.
You buying it?
Buying Tyler? Buying what part of it exactly?
Well, I knew you were going to do this because you're always really good at doing this. You just don't let me ask you a question without really getting the answer the way it needs to be asked. But yeah, are you buying him and all the things he's talking about with the media that he wasn't very mature and he needs to be better and all that? You buying all that?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Okay. I'm buying the intention from him. I am buying the purpose that he's created. And to kind of put it on a flip side of why I'm buying it, I was not buying it from Mozzie Smith this time last year, and still not for Mozzie Smith, for the record. But I think with Tyler Guyton, there's a lot of intention there, and the proof is in the pudding, I think, already with how he looks physically. I think you've already seen some physical improvements there. But as far as buying on-field improvement, yeah, catch me in training camp, Brian.
Okay.
Nice.
I like it. There you go. Catch me in Oxnard.
Oh, Michael.
How about that, Mike?
Yep. What are you thinking about George Pickens right now?
Yeah, I think a fascinating thing that I think that's formulating with George Pickens is his relationship with Dak Prescott. And I point that out specifically because it was a revolving door at quarterback at times in Pittsburgh. I mean, you just look at last year in a nutshell, and it was, all the quarterback controversy that they had throughout the year. And you never really felt like he connected with the quarterback in Pittsburgh or even during his time in Georgia. But coming into this outfit, he has Dak Prescott there. That's going to be his safe guy as his QB1 moving forward. And I think the relationship that they've built off the field, I think we saw that very minor translate onto the field yesterday during OTAs. And it was a point in red zone work. They were doing 7-on-7 and Dak was having to work off script a little bit and roll out. And he was directing traffic with George Pickens. And he was directing traffic in a way that, you know, you would thought that they would have had a pre-existing relationship at least for a few months instead of a few weeks. And then he was able to guide him right to the sideline. He put a ball on the money that only he could go out and grab. He fully extended. If you saw Bobby Belt's great drawing on Twitter, that was that's the play I'm referring to. And he hauled it in, tiptoed in for a touchdown, and drew some oohs and ahs from us in the media and from the sideline. But I think you see that off-field connection already translating on the field here during OTAs, and that's got to be exciting if you're a Cowboys fan.
Nick, I know it's early and they're probably not showing too much, but have you gleaned anything from this offense and just the way they're going about things? Does it look much different than what we've seen with McCarthy and company?
Yeah, that's super tough at this juncture, and I think already, you know, with the media viewing practice, it's going to be vanilla. So I think you take that with already it's in a developmental aspect of things, and they're still putting things together from a playbook perspective. And now they do have a playbook, don't get me wrong. And a lot of these guys have spending a lot of time diving into it. I chatted it up with Jonathan Mingo yesterday, and I was like, hey, how's your offseason been? You been up to anything? He's like, nah, really, I've just been diving into this playbook. So there's guys that are spending time on it, and it's definitely a product that is fully encompassing, but I don't think we're really going to see that full product, Eric, until probably week one or week two. And I think that's going to be an intentional effort.
Will Dak be 100% full contact when we get to Oxnard?
I would expect so. I mean, he's moving around and he's getting his reps in here during OTAs like he is a full participant. And I would expect him to be full contact in Oxnard, yes.
Young pass rusher most likely to join the pressure party there with Micah and Osa.
Oh, Donovan Ezeraku, give it to me. I think this. I loved the pick when they made it. I had a first-round grade on the guy, and I'm a big fan of his potential. And seeing him already get some burn with the ones And I think it's also his ability to cover guys out of the backfield that's going to give him some interesting intrigue on passing downs, because you see him off the edge, and as a quarterback or as an offensive play caller, you see that 41 jersey and you go, okay, is he going to drop back and cover my running back coming out of the backfield here, or is he going to blitz for my eyeballs? And I think that's going to be a fascinating thing for Matt Eberflus to work through here in his first year as defense coordinator.
Nick, if there is a holdout, is that your Micah Parsons replacement?
Oh, you can't replace Micah fully, and I know I understand the spirit of the question, but I think from a roster standpoint and who trots out there on day one, I mean, that would be my leading candidate. You know how I feel about the guy.
Sure.
I think he's a talented pass rusher. I think his ceiling is as high as some of the best pass rushers in this league. That's how I feel about Donovan Ezeraku. I'll stand on the table about him, and I've continued to see that potential here early on.
Are the Cowboys going to exercise this $500,000 hit to Diggs?
Yeah, don't know on that one. That would be a good question for some of my other constituents on the beat. I know Todd Archer had the break on that one yesterday, and that's certainly a fascinating story. But, you know, you look at the contract language and you see how that is put forth. Even if he did show up to mandatory minicamp, which I do expect him to next week, he's not going to meet that percentage requirement. So at the very least, there's going to be a conversation had, I would assume, you know, about that contract language and if he is subject to those penalties or not.
I mean, if the money's already lost, could you see him just skipping mini as well?
He would risk even more money by skipping minicamp. Those would be more fines with mandatory, with it being mandatory. And with it being under his second contract, they would not be able to waive those fines.
Got it. You're a beast, Nick. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Salute. At Nick Harris, FWST there on Twitter. 3 Cooper flag trades. Would you do them? Plus Boomer Bust Cowboy editions and top stories here for the NFC East as we hit the summer next in the name.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Here we go. Welcome back, Nation. I have three Cooper Flagg trade ideas. Jason Kidd still calling him the kid from Duke. I guess until we hear Cooper Flagg's name coming up at the end of the month, anything is possible. But let me ask you on text in the Twitch chat or YouTube, by the way, please like the video. We'd appreciate it. Is there anything you trade Cooper Flagg for? What are we looking at here? As we're in the final month of preparations here, potential Cooper Flagg trades the Mavs might not immediately reject. Would you immediately reject these? Would you consider them? The Franklin Injury Attorney text line is 877-881-1053. And the segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Of course, a salute to Cars for Kids as well. Donate your vehicle, carsforkids.org. Mavs get the number 2 pick, the 2025 number 14 pick, an Atlanta Hawks first rounder in the future, a return of swap rights to the Mavs 2030 first rounder, and the San Antonio Spurs get the number 1 overall pick. They want to pair up, obviously, Flagg and Wembanyama. I think for me, that's the one team I absolutely am not trading him to, because that could be a potential reign of terror.
Yeah, no, we're not doing business. We're not doing business with the Spurs. If you want Flagg, we want Wemby. Otherwise, I hang up the phone.
Mm. And would you do that? You would do that
for Wemby
coming off the blood clot deal? All that
I would need to be really. I would have to have very, very good assurance from the doctors that we're good on the blood clot deal. But that aside, yes, I would do it.
I mean, are there any other young players that even approach that where you'd be like, hey, this is a conversation? I think Wemby, you know, I guess if the Thunder were like, hey, we're up against it, we have to trade Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Boom. Okay.
Yeah. But now you're taking on giant money once again, which is something you didn't want to do in the Luka factor.
Right.
Like to me, the idea that you're going to move on from a young, promising prospect on the cheap, that just feels crazy to me. I'd rather reset the window and punt on my veteran guys like Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving and just totally reset the timeline here than try and, again, trade away my future to rush into something with fragile veterans.
Yeah, I guess the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander idea would be we are going to win the championship. You know, maybe even if Anthony Davis gets hurt, like Gilgeous, Kyrie, those bigs, PJ Washington, But that's a fantasy land. I imagine the Thunder are going to win the championship and try to repeat. Their biggest question up there is, what do we do when Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren are ready for their next big contracts? Will we have enough revenue to keep everybody around? Okay, how about first pick PJ Washington plus Caleb Martin? This is a four-way trade, I think. The Mavs get Donovan Mitchell, 2031 first-round pick from the Lakers, 2028 first-round swap with the Lakers, 2030 first-round swap with the Lakers. They say Mitchell's a better fit than Giannis, who would crowd a front court limited on shooting. Mitchell could start next season at point in place of Irving and slide to the two when Irving returns. I think you're too outsized. I mean, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, I'm not interested in trying to build a championship team around a heavy usage guy who doesn't play defense and is under about 6'6". I think that's about my limit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a guy who just seems to always fall short in the postseason.
Yeah.
I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, I think that's immediately rejected. How about the Mavs picking up Devin Booker with the Suns? You get Devin, you get a 2025 first rounder, which is 29th. 2028 first rounder. Which is owned by the Knicks and Wizards. So in 2028, you could have the Wizards first-round pick. You know, that's going to be top five. And a 2029 first-round pick swap between the Cavs, Timberwolves, and Jazz. Again, if that's the best ESPN can come up with, I don't even think we really need to get that started, do we?
No, not at all. Not messing around with any of those particular trades. And even the Wizards, will they get top five or they get bleeped out of it and be picking six? I believe they are now with the lottery. So, no, it's just none of that. But the Devin Booker, first of all, no. Second of all, hell no.
Absolutely not.
And third of all, think about the additional salt in the wound, because isn't like the Luka-Devin Booker rivalry kind of deal. And now you're ultimately bringing him to Dallas when you didn't want Luka. That would just be the ultimate villainous move from Nico.
So the only move that then you guys would make listening to you would be for Wemby, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and that's if he medically just checks out and the blood clots were confident that's not going to be a problem moving forward.
And I'm open-minded to Giannis, not KD, but you know, I think the idea of, hey, maybe Cooper Flagg is just Andre Kirilenko. You know, maybe he's going to be a very versatile 20-point-per-game scorer, but, you know, that's not going to carry us to championships in the future. We could get a championship now. But ultimately, I would not do it. You know, I would stick with the long-term potential of Cooper Flagg. And Flagg could be so good at 18, 19 years old that, you know, he can be the difference maker like a young Tim Duncan was. But, man, Tim Duncan spent 4 years in college. I think you're going to have to wait a couple of years for him to be, like, your best player. You know, right now, right now is your probably your third best player, maybe your fourth, depending on where you rank PJ Washington. Okay, we go to CBS Sports here, and they have NFC East burning questions for 2025 as we head in. And I mean, the top one that they make the headline out of is Dak Prescott washed up. Are we done here? Is this an injury plus age plus he always did kind of need to run to get the absolute most favorable looks? I think he's washed up as that guy. He's no longer going to be Superman for you. But if you can run the ball, like, I would look at him like, hey, we absolutely can win. If the Lions can win with Jared Goff, if the Rams could as well, Dak Prescott's, you know, not washed up that way.
No, he's not just completely washed up. The athleticism's certainly not going to really be there anymore, but it hasn't really been there even for the last few years. So if you had Detroit Lions level of coaching / personnel around him, he could absolutely get you probably further than where you've been to date.
Yeah. They say, okay, so here's what they say. Prescott coming off a season-ending hammy and has just 2 playoff victories in his 9 seasons with the Cowboys. I mean, that's more than a hammy. That's an avulsion fracture, and we don't know. But he looks pretty good. Everybody say he's moving around well. I think chances are good he can be just as good as 2023 where he was runner-up to MVP. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's the hope. Man, that's the best season he's had. I mean, if you can get back to that version of Dak, then you might be able to do something.
It's still just weird how poorly he played before the injury last year.
Yeah,
he was not playing MVP-level football at all. And even the MVP football stuff is still, it's beating up on bad teams in the regular season. That's what you do. It's still, even in the midst of your 2023 MVP-caliber season, if that's what we want to call it, it's still S-ing the bed every time you go up against a playoff opponent.
It's fair. Okay, next question. Burning NFC East questions. Brian, let me get your thoughts on this. Are the Eagles good enough to repeat as Super Bowl champions?
I think they're good enough. I think where they've gotten even better is what they've done in the secondary with replacement. You know, I'm a big fan of the way they drafted, but they've got their Georgia players, their young kids are playing at a very, very high level now. They re-signed their linebacker. You know, I think, yeah, they're absolutely.
And they brought back Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
They lost Sweat, Milton Williams, CJ Gardner.
The only disadvantage I think they have is they have to find edge rushers. That's it. Everything else I think is pretty, you know, is pretty solid on that defense.
That's what CBS Sports said. Like, they just don't have enough pass rush, but I think they could find it. And they're at least have as strong of argument as anybody else in the NFC.
It's amazing what 2 draft picks that corner did for their defense. Yeah. And then bringing in Vic Fangio too. It really helped them. But yeah, if they're one of those teams that doesn't have pass rush, we'll see. You know, with Smith and guys like that, we'll see if they can kind of get something out of him. But I think they're still a very good team.
Next burning NFC East question, will Jaden Daniels have a sophomore slump with the Commandos? What do you think, Mr. VR? He's probably just going to be better, isn't he?
Yeah, I firmly believe that Jaden Daniels he's a cheat code. He's a cheat code right now. He's got the ridiculous speed and athleticism to go along with the guy that clearly understands how to win from the pocket. Cliff Kingsbury was helping him out last year. We'll see if that can continue. But my goodness, dude. Yeah, I don't see that going away.
He had all the physical tools. The VR gave him the reps that you just can't get because it's such a violent game. And now I think his rookie year, he was already operating almost like a veteran with all those extra reps.
Man, yeah, it's just the injury factor with a guy who, you know, puts himself in vulnerable positions with the athleticism. But other than that, no, I don't see him having like a CJ Stroud type sophomore year.
I don't either, but it's possible that they do. I mean, maybe the NFL just figures out Cliff Kingsbury and what they want to do with him. But I think that guy's just locked in.
I tell you what, adding Laremy Tunsil there really will help them stability wise with the tackle. That's been a problem for them.
Big time.
I think last year was the probably the worst team that kid's going to quarterback
for a while at least.
Yeah, I think they're going to. I think they've got a really smart general manager. I think they've got a head coach that knows how to work with personnel and bring guys in. So yeah, it's going to be tough to defeat that bunch.
It's just amazing how a new owner and GM can change the course of a team so quickly. You know, all they needed was an unsightly sex scandal. Unfortunately, the Cowboys will apparently never be that fortunate for one of those actually, you know, be a decisive blow. Who will the shout out to NDAs? Who will the Giants starting quarterback be? I don't know. I love that the new Madden trailer is out, and in the video montage, you got Micah throwing Russell Wilson like 15 yards for a sack.
He was like a New Yorker with garbage in front of a Pacers fan, just launching the body of Russell Wilson.
I mean, those guys are coaching for their job, right? So I think you would look at, hey, we got Russell Wilson who's not going to make as many mistakes as Jameis Winston, but if you don't have a passing touchdown for a month or so, I could easily see it being Winston as well. I just don't believe in Dart.
I'll tell you what I would do if I was coaching for my job. I would go ahead and play Jackson Dart.
See what happens.
You know what? Maybe you could show enough with him that they want to bring you back.
There you go.
Yeah, like, listen, hey, we're not trying to protect our jobs here and start the veteran guy.
Yeah.
We're going to start this rookie, and we're going to see what happens.
We're in it for the long term, buddy.
Yeah, and just prove to ownership that you got enough out of the kid.
At least to have another clock until Jackson Dart gets the reins there.
For sure. Yeah, he's going to get a start. Look. It's tough to evaluate a coach if you had Daniel Jones as quarterback, you know. And there were times where that staff appeared to be heading in the right direction. Speaking of that, we'll get Sans off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
On Next, fam. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for Jared Sandler's Rangers Preview, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. And a good afternoon, Jared. How the heck are you?
Fellas, I'm great. I'm dry right now, and we just got about 30 minutes of coach stories, which that's, I'll tell you, 30, 40 years from now, you know, whether this is year 3 of 4 or year 3 of 10 or the last year at Boch, I think I hope I remember just 25% of the baseball stories that we've gotten to hear him tell over the last few years. It's been that's been a really, really neat part of it. So we got a little Boch sit down session.
What was your favorite one he just told?
The ones he just told. I mean, he told a funny one about trying to get Bob Gibson and Dick Allen to sign a baseball, and they basically told a 12-year-old Boch to get the you know what out of there. You know, they didn't have cameras rolling back then to catch people's behavior for that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, he talked about seeing Mickey Mantle hit 2 home runs in the doubleheader at RFK, and then we were talking about Yogi Berra and just things that he remembered about Yogi Berra as a player back in the day. I mean, it's not necessarily always like the stories that gonna, you know, have you cackling with like a big punchline. It's just like his memories or his recollections or recalling things, like bringing some of these legends to life, right? Because he, you know, he got to interact or play with, play against some of these, you know, these legends who, you know, are only on a baseball card or maybe on an internet story these days. And you know, Dave Raymond made a great point because of social media, because of the internet, because of the way, you know, these guys are so much more accessible than they used to be. The mystique behind athletes or attached to athletes just isn't what it used to be. And it, in some ways it's a byproduct of a lot of good things, right? You know, people can watch any game that they want, you know, at any point. And, you know, there's, you know, more coverage and more immediate coverage. It's not about getting the paper in a given city, but it used to be that there was such a mystique surrounding these guys because you weren't exposed to them very often. And it's just, you don't have that anymore. But for the legends who were Boch's contemporaries, you know, that still existed. And so getting to hear a little bit or piece about this guy or that guy, Willie Mays, you know, Carlos May, you know, hearing some Giants story. I mean, it's so cool. That's been a real treat.
Jared Sandler here with you on The Fan. So Kamar Rocker back tonight, activated, starting. What are we hoping to see from?
Yeah, 70 to 75 pitches. And what I'm going to look for, guys, you know, we talked so much about the 2 different breaking balls that he was throwing. And really, you know, I think, you know, what we really want to see is that harder breaking ball. The breaking ball he was throwing in the 70s is probably not the pitch that he wants or needs if he's going to, you know, achieve a high level of success. I think it's that harder breaking ball. If that pitch can kind of live around 82 to 84 miles an hour, I think, you know, feel really good about it. And then same with the fastball. You know, we want to see Kamar getting up to, you know, 96, 97, not necessarily 93, 94 with the four-seamer. Now, the sinker, a little bit of a different story. And when Kamar faced these guys earlier this season, he was getting a lot of weak contact with that pitch. But I think from a fastball breaking or four-seam breaking ball standpoint, want to see a little more power on those pitches. Now, will he achieve that here in his first start back off the IL? Yeah, he had 2 rehab starts, but first big league start back? I don't know, but that's the progression that I guess is interesting to me is, you know, he gets back into the rotation.
Dolley back in the lineup. He's going to be in right field. How nice was that 7th inning pinch hit? And boom, here's a single. That had to feel good.
Yeah, and even that 9th inning at bat, I mean, he scorched that ball backside. And, you know, the weird thing is, Zach, with Adolis Garcia, all right, maybe you make him a platoon player, but he hadn't been hitting lefties. He'd kind of been, I mean, really, you know, he's struggled against both sides. But, you know, in the past, he's crushed lefties, right? And I don't think that they have designs on making him a platoon player, but you at least want him to be a threat. If he's going to be batting around some of the lefties in this lineup, you want him to be a guy that's going to make a manager pay for having a lefty in to face him. And so I think, you know, one of the things Bruce Bochy said is just, you know, finding that right combination of balance or a balance with his bottom half, but then also from like a swing decision standpoint, you know, yeah, you'd love for him to be perfect with his swing decisions, but also not to be too passive. And you know, I think they felt like he was either late in pulling the trigger on hittable pitches or just wasn't pulling the trigger at all because it just got in his head about making the right swing decision. And that's easy. Like a swing decision, that's something we can talk about, right, in assessing, but it's not something like that you want hitters thinking about. You just want them seeing the ball and reacting like an athlete, and I think they'd like for it always to get back to that. And I think some of that is the mental side. I think some of that is putting his body physically in the right place to be able to fire his best swing off. And, you know, we certainly saw a couple really good swings last night.
How does the lineup match up with this Shane Baz fellow that the Rays are running out?
Yeah, you know, he's weird. He's a reverse splits guy. So his numbers this year have been a little bit better against lefties than righties. He's really struggled against righties. So if you're looking for opportunities for Rangers hitters tonight, it might be the righties. Now, Boz had a really good April. He had a really, really rough May. He was not very good in May. So he's kind of been a little Jekyll and Hyde, you know, a heavy spin guy. So, you know, slider was a good pitch for him last year, not so much this year, but he really leans on the curveball. He'll throw it in all counts. So the Rangers aren't necessarily going to have to worry about getting blown away with, you know, multiple fastballs. He will throw a four-seamer, but really it's the curveball that's, you know, kind of been the hinge point pitch for him. If that pitch is working, he becomes a lot tougher, but he has struggled more so against righties than lefties.
Hey, Jared, is this stadium a hard one to pick up the broadcast in to pick up the ball going to the outfield?
Left field, yeah, Broadus. That was actually one of the things we talked to Boach about. No one saw the home run.
It's happened a couple of times this year. They don't know if it's fair or foul.
Yeah, it happened on I remember watching a game earlier this year with the Yankees. Aaron Judge hit a ball down the line, and the ball just it was lost. I don't know that there was a great replay that we saw last night to confirm or deny home run. And Wyatt Langford lost it. We lost it. Boach lost it. The dugout. I mean, I think it's really more so left field. Maybe to some degree right field, but it's also not the most well lit ballpark.
Sure.
And you know, maybe that contributes, but yeah. And that left field is a weird angle too. The way that the fence curls at the pole, I don't know if that contributes to it or not, but that home run that started the scoring yesterday off the Mally, which is the fifth shortest home run hit by a big leaguer this year. And a ball hit below 90 miles an hour in terms of exit velo, one of the softest home runs. Everyone seemed to lose that ball. It was almost like a case of the X-Files. So, yeah, I do think that out in left field, it's a little bit tougher to see. I don't know that's necessarily the case as much in center and right, but definitely in left.
Jared, how'd Simeon's ABs look last night?
Yeah, listen, you know, no one looked good against Drew Rasmussen, but I thought Marcus competed again. You know, he reached base once more. And, you know, you'd love for him to had another four hit night, but it just, no one was touching Rasmussen last night. I mean, he's been so good. I know we talked about it yesterday, 18 straight scoreless, now up to 23 straight scoreless. That's not an excuse, right? Because the 23 Rangers would face guys like that. And yeah, they would get shut down from time to time, but yeah. Would you have liked to have seen them scratch on a cross against Rasmussen? Absolutely. But, you know, I think once he got out, the bat quality looked a little bit better. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as a team, not good enough. Scoring one run, not going to cut it. But I do think Marcus, it didn't seem like he reverted back. There was one bad strikeout. But, again, it was against Rasmussen. It just seemed like he was fooling the crap out of everyone last night.
A texter threw this out. I just want to get your thoughts on it. But did Dolly's downturn, like, coincide in any way with Boone arriving? Did it get worse with that? Is there anything to that?
I don't think so. I mean, there was some data at the beginning of the year that even when maybe the results were a little bit better, that it was heading in the wrong direction from just a peripheral standpoint. Really, after the Yates home run, the walk-off home run against Yates, that was that first real. I want to say he had like a 4-for-32 stretch or 4-for-something. And it seemed like after that point, things really, like the Yates home run was sort of in the middle of that stretch. But when you hit a walk-off home run, it's like it softens the blow a little bit, but then it really got magnified after. So I don't know that it necessarily coincided with Brett Boone's arrival. I'm not saying this is the suggestion of the text, but I don't think that there's anything that Brett Boone did that like put Adolis in a worse spot, because I think a lot of the things Brett Boone is preaching right now is less so mechanical and more so, hey, be an athlete, which is, I think, a lot of the messaging that they have given to the Adolis over the last few days.
Once again, Sands, I have all the questions and not enough time. Are you getting any read off Dolly? Like, is he like, I can't believe these dudes benched me, screw them? Or is he like, man, I'm good now. That was great.
No, you know what, Gavin? I'm glad you asked. That was something that talked to Boach about. And, you know, I know we've talked about this because Adolis, you know, English is not his first language, so he doesn't do as much media as, you know, in English as a first language type player. And so I know fans see the smiling Adolis Garcia. I don't think they realize how beloved he is in the clubhouse. And I think a part of that is when you talk to his teammates is that he is like a team guy, right? Like he's not one of these guys who, when he's not going well, he's, you know, not going to be the same guy to his teammates. He might internalize some of the frustrations, but he is supportive. He is, you know, right in the middle of things, you know, dominoes, cards, ping pong. And all that to say, you know, Boach kind of wanted to make a point and say, no, like he was great. Like I don't want to put the word surprise in Boach's mouth. He didn't say that they were surprised at how he handled it, but you could tell there was a level of appreciation for how he handled him. Gavin, I don't know. I mean, you know, if I know sometimes these guys don't necessarily look at the numbers, but to some degree, the numbers are the numbers, right? I mean, they do tell a story, and the story was that the production wasn't good enough. And I think Adolis knows that. And, you know, I think he obviously wants the production to be better. So I think he took it in stride. Was he upset? Yeah, I'm sure he was. You know, was a little ego? Sure. But at the end of the day, I think when you take a step back from being in the eye of the emotional storm, I think he understood it, and I guess he did handle it a lot better than maybe what any of us would have expected.
Thank you, Sands. That's terrific stuff. We'll catch you up with you tomorrow.
See you guys.
He's brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Every day here that there's a Rangers game. What's coming up next, Chief?
Sounds of the Sports Day and G-Bag Nation. You make the call next year in the nation.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.